This is Embracing Change with Lakrita Bowman and Jennifer Osborne.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. We are so glad you've joined us. Today is going to be the last episode of this season called This Is Us or The Story of Us. That name may alter a bit. So we are just going to touch on where things have been since our last episode, because as we were considering this episode and looking at the dates, it has been about 4 months from start to finish, not knowing everything that was going to happen, not knowing all of the twists and turns those 4 months were going to take. And I in so many ways feel like this is so much God ordained, from the starting of the recording to us going through hospice once, recovery, hospice twice, passing, funeral, and as of today even, which, again, this just feels like God has ordained everything about this and the timing. Today was a milestone moment.
It was crematory services for my husband.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and last night, you and Charles were both honored in a video montage of and the flowers that were presented to you at the recovery graduation at the ministry that you founded with Charles
30 years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So today feels, it feels, I don't know if the word is like a proper conclusion. I don't know if it just means it's a moment that has.
I think it's a moment, a bow tie. I feel like it's a ribbon tying.
Yeah.
You know, moment. Some of you all have known Charles and I have been married 32 years. We started a ministry of Having the Courage to Change, which is a transformational ministry working with any life destructive behaviors from anyone. And we started that ministry from our own lives, and you could listen to my life and my life story. But one of my desires was always to have my husband and I tell our stories together.
Yeah.
And my husband was very hesitant, or I don't know if he was hesitant. He just didn't seem like he was in.
He didn't seem comfortable with the mic, quite honestly. And he was like, what do I say?
Yeah, exactly. And we had to pull things out of him, not knowing that we're into the 20th week, and that the 20th week of being today, that he would no longer be with us in the earth. When we started this this series, that was not what I saw.
Yeah.
And we know that my husband had prostate cancer. We know the prostate cancer, I think, month is coming up, and my husband was diagnosed in 2010, decided to get his prostate taken out, it was actually gone for 8 years, and in 2018 it returned, and of course he made decisions that he was going to use medicine from food versus radiation or chemo or even hormone treatments, and hormone therapy is what they called it. And because he felt like the side effects was just greater than he wanted,
probably greater than the benefit in his eyes.
And so from 2018 he just began to do that, and by 2023, so it was 5 years later, we took a PET scan and it had metastasized. Yep. Or spread it. I can just say spread it. Spread into his bones. And he just continued to tell the doctor that, you know, he wanted to have quality of life, not quantity. And so the doctor at that time said, well, I'm just going to turn you, you know, refer you to hospice. Charles was with the hospice people for probably 6 weeks and then fired them.
I remember that.
Yeah, he's like, they're trying to kill me, or they're trying to tell me I'm dying and I'm not ready to die. I got a lot of life to live. And so he went on this quest again, finding more ways to go holistic approach. He had the five F's, which was his food, his faith, his family, his fun. He wanted fun, and I think it was fundamentals or you know, how he was going to do things, and he lived by it. And then in 2024, he got another PET scan just to see, because we did believe that information was power.
Yeah.
And we believe that the more you knew, the more you knew what to do. And so when he got it, his PET scan in June of 2024, the doctor said to him, you know, a year or two before now, I wouldn't think you would die of cancer, but now I know you will be, your death certificate will say prostate cancer. And so I said, well, if it's in his bones, why would it be prostate cancer? And he said, let me give it to you like this, Ms. Bowman. If you go to Asia, or go to China and you're an American, you're still an American in China. So in other words, whatever the origin of the cancer is, it doesn't matter where it grows at, whether it's in your lungs or whether it's in your bone, it's still prostate. And he said, so what I'm saying is that he will, on his death certificate, it will say prostate cancer. Hmm. And so Charles, we asked the doctor at that time, what did he think would be, you know, the best? And he said, well, honestly, at this point, we've, you know, even if you wanted to do something, I think the severity of it would, your body would not sustain it. So, and I wouldn't even recommend it, but it would be chemo predominantly 3-4 times a week. And he's like, I just don't think you would be able to sustain that. So I would suggest you just keep doing what you're doing. And so we lived that life from that day, and we traveled and we did so many things in 2024. We had, and things just looked really good. I'm telling you, we didn't see any signs. And I'm going to tell you, when I first saw the sign of Charles deteriorating was when we did our community engagement day.
Yeah.
And he came down there and I saw him, and I live with this man, but it was something on him that day that let me see the shadow of death was catching up with him. Mm. And it was like, it was a month later that he went to hospice on the 21st of July. And when he went, it was so amazing because it looked like death was there then. And he stayed in hospice in the hospital for 8 days. I set up everything for him to come home. And pretty much I thought he was coming home to transition. But I'm telling you, he came home that day in an ambulance, wouldn't let the people bring him in the house. He got out of the off the gurney.
Can remember that
he was right like... in front of our home, and he walked into our home, and he never stopped walking.
Yeah,
and you'll hear the stories he told, because he told stories. He came back here on this podcast and told what he felt like the Lord had did, and now I know even today as I was in that moment with him, just his body, because his spirit has already gone to be with the Lord. Or as the Bible talks about where the body is in paradise, you know, waiting, his spirit is there. And so, but his body, it's been a month ago. He died on the 17th at 2:07 a.m. on the 17th. And we cremated him today on the 17th at 9:45 a.m. And so between that time, Charles, from the time that he came out of hospice on the 29th of July until he deceased on the 17th of September, the Lord did great and mighty things through him.
Yeah.
And I guess they call it a rally call, but they said that they had never seen a rally call as long as he had had, because he had a 7-week rally call. But in that 7 weeks, Charles was able to make amends. He was able to ask people for forgiveness.
Yeah.
He was just different. He was more vulnerable. When I look at it now, after 32 years of our marriage, what I have experienced is that I see a side of my husband that was beautiful and yet, as you said, complex, but yet he was beautifully
complicated.
Complicated. Yeah. It was very, You know what I mean? But yet it was that those 7 weeks was the best 7 weeks of his life.
Yeah.
And I remember on the 10th of September when he called out, when he called me and told me he was here at the ministry. We had went to Walmart's with the men. You know, he died the way he lived. I mean, because that day on the 10th of September, we had taken the men to Walmart's, and he was joking and kidding. He came down to the other part of the ministry. He had this thing about washing clothes, and he loved to wash clothes.
He would wash
clothes 3 or 4 times a week.
And he loved the washers down here.
He did. He loved the washers down here.
It was so funny.
He was washing clothes that day, and he told the two discipleship coordinators that was here that he was in excruciating pain.
Yeah.
And he put his head down a couple of times. He even came downstairs and laid on the couch. And then he went outside and sat in the sun because he felt like the sun would give him energy. He ate a turkey sandwich that Tico made him. He got in his car and he went home. About 4:30, he called me screaming and hollering in excruciating pain. That he said, I can't take this pain. I don't know where it came from. It just came up on me. It is so excruciating. And I called the hospice nurse who came to the home, evaluated him, and realized he needed to go back into hospice. They gave him some medicine, but he took a shower because my husband was very conscientious about bathing. Bathing, washing clothes, and cleaning was his thing.
Yeah.
And he took a shower that night. I went home. He prayed for me, matter of fact, before I went home, and then told me to text him when I got home so he knew I made it home safely. I did that, and the next morning, on the 11th of September, went back to the hospital. I had a meeting at 1. He took some medicine, and we prayed, and I told him I love him. He told me he loved me. I said, I'll see you later. He said, I'll be here. And when I got back about 4:30 that afternoon, he was unconscious and never did wake back up. And on the 17th, he passed away. You know, and that's why this is the story of us. And it's really about, for me, it's the story of us. But the real piece is our mess, our message, our marriage, and our ministry.
Yeah.
And Charles's children got a chance to be on this podcast.
Yep.
And share their beautiful, complicated moments with their dad. Our son that I had before our marriage got to share about his front row seat in our marriage, our ministry, our mess, all of it. And then our friend Geneva got to share. And she said something even at the homegoing that she said it here too, but it just sticks out when she said, I knew Charles without Lucreta, but I never knew Lucreta without Charles. And so even last night in that beautiful moment, she said, I still feel the same way, seeing you sit there by yourself was hard.
Yeah.
Because I don't know you without him. And I've got to get to know you without Charles.
Yeah. 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 And that was, just so the listeners know, last night was our transformational recovery graduation. We have it every year for the program at City Gospel Mission. And they had put a large throne looking like chair up on the stage and played a beautiful historic video of the ministry for Lucreta. And then after all of as many as they could find, former participants of the program, former and current, came up and presented Lucreta with a rose. Mm-hmm. And it was beautiful and heartbreaking and joyous and gut-wrenching. It was all of the things wrapped in a moment because it was a celebration of a ministry, but it was a loss of one of the founders. And mm-hmm. It was... I don't know. I mean, it kind of a complicated moment, but just so the listeners know what that was when you were saying you were sitting up there alone. That's what it was. And it was such a beautiful thing to watch. What I was thinking when everybody stood up and they got up on the stage and there was this long line, I was thinking about the impact, right? You don't know how your life impacts others. And in some ways, you don't have any control of that, right? You think you do, but really it's in all of the little moments that add up to a lot of big things, right? It's how you smile at someone. It's how you love them. It's how you embrace them, provide for them, celebrate with them, whatever it is. You don't know and have no control on how the sum total of those moments impact a person. And so watching them all up on the stage, it was like, wow, now that's profound. If you had tried to do that, if you would have planned that on your own, never would have happened. And you still can't plan or know what's going to happen even going forward in their lives, right? They're going to impact their children and their, you know, maybe their parents, their siblings, friends. You don't know. And it all started from you coming out of prison, seeing a need, marrying a man who was equally as like chasing after God as you were. And it as we've talked about it, it doesn't even sound like it was a decision. Like you had these deep conversations about starting this ministry. It almost sounded like, I feel like God's calling me into ministry. What do you think? Oh yeah, LaCreta, that sounds great. Let's do it. Okay, let's use our house. Yeah, that sounds great. We should move in the attic. Yeah, that sounds great. You know what I mean? It just sounded that like everything fitting together just beautifully. Mm-hmm. And I'll just keep rambling, but it's just a great lesson for us in so many ways of, you know, watching our words, watching our actions, knowing that you have no control on how you impact people. But if your heart is towards God, and if you are chasing him fully, you will have a whole line of people on the stage.
Yeah.
Bringing you flowers.
It's like the cloud of witness, though.
Yeah.
What I felt last night. And I just felt like Charles was there. I wasn't alone. He was there. And I feel like that. I don't know. You know, I think about the song, I Can Only Imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So I'm just going to use my imagination right now. And I felt like my husband was just hovering over there that
he
moment.
Was. Yeah.
And he was saying, look at what God did through us.
Yeah.
Look at what God did through us. And then I also just felt like he was saying, I'm going to need you to keep going, LaCreta.
Yeah.
I'm going to need you to keep going, babe. I know it's hard right now, but no, God's got your back.
Yeah.
And whatever is your next season, my love will always be present in your heart.
Yeah.
Just go for it. Have no regrets. Go for it. And everything that he asked me to do through his transition, I felt like I did it. Today was the last thing. I didn't understand why he wanted me to go witness cremation, but it was like, and also I want you to have a cremation service. I want you to witness because I want to make sure that that's my body that they put in that furnace. And I'm like, Charles, why would they not put your body in that furnace? He's like, well, I'm just saying. But today what I felt was, even though he jokingly said that, what I felt today and what I felt like I heard in my spirit was he needed to know he wasn't alone.
Yeah.
That you were going to walk this journey, even though his spirit was gone, that you was going to walk his natural body all the way to the end.
Like a watch.
Mm-hmm.
You were going to keep watch over him.
He was going to keep a watch over him. And he knew he could ask that of you, and you would honor it.
Yeah.
Or I would honor it. I'm talking like it's the third person, but like I would honor it.
Yeah.
And I did. And I remember when we first talked about it as a family, it was only one person going with me, which was Jamar. But then all three of our children went and witnessed it. And then we went out to eat and we talked about it. And they said it was just beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, even he looked just like he was asleep.
Like he was asleep.
You
my
know what
goodness.
I mean?
Yeah.
After a whole month, he just looked like he was asleep. And yeah. So the new chapter begins.
Yeah, and isn't it interesting that it just, like I said at the beginning of this, it feels like a beautiful bow, mm-hmm. like a natural conclusion. Like there's a scripture that says, I have ran the race, I finished the course. Mm-hmm. And that's what this feels like for him. Like yeah. he ran the race, he finished the course. Last night you got to see the impact of the ministry, mm-hmm. of a decision of, hey, I feel like we, you know, God's calling me to this. Okay, let's do it. Let's give our house, like from a humble beginnings.
Yeah, we gave everything we had.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm telling you, we gave everything we had to start this ministry and to sit here in this ministry in a $5.4 million home now for women.
Yeah.
After 30 years, nobody could have told me we would have done that.
Right.
But we gave all we had. We lost our lives to find it.
Yeah.
But not only to find our lives, but to help other people find theirs.
Yeah. Do you know what I really love about your story and Charles's story too? I mean, there have been plenty of people that said, man, look at what she did, loved the Lord, chased, did all that stuff. But I kind of feel like the other part of that story is too, that God used you in your imperfectness. Like when I spoke of Charles and I used the term beautifully complicated, it was because all of these things live in us, right, as people. And our intention when we chase God is God doesn't say be perfect. He just says be available and run and do these things. And like, I know you messed up multiple times through this ministry.
Ooh-wee, did I ever.
And I'm sure Charles did. I'm sure your marriage had bumps, you know, just all the things.
I was always leaving Charles. Charles never was leaving me.
That's funny. But look at that. So while the first part of that story is absolutely true, I'm not taking anything away from
that. That's why we call it a mess. We was a mess.
Right.
It turned into a message.
Right. That kept going, right?
That turned into a marriage that turned into a ministry.
Oh, I mean, but it's beautiful and it's inspiring in the way of for other people that are feeling like, I just need to get my life together before mm-hmm. I say yes, or I need to have all of these things in line before I take that step. You know, whatever it is, like God doesn't say be perfect. He says be holy, but then mm-hmm. he provides the way for us to be holy.
And be willing. He said those who are willing and obedient shall eat the fat of the lamb.
Yeah.
In Isaiah 1:19.
Yeah. But it's like, don't, he's not saying clean yourself up. He's not saying be perfect. He's saying, just come, just say come. Yes, just step out and do. And you're going to mess up and you're going to fall down. And look what I'll do through you falling down. It's just perfect. Like we learn mm-hmm. through those falls and we learn through those bumps, but it's in what you do after a fall and it's what you do after a bump. Bringing to mind the conversation we had right before we got on here about how your bumps don't have to define you in mm-hmm. in that it's what you do after. It's, are you God's? Are you allowing him to make you better? Or are you going to just stay in that cycle?
Yeah.
So you guys said, no, we're not going to stay in that cycle. Charles had been in prison. You had been in prison. And you guys, the thing that made it perfect was that you both said yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you both just said, okay.
And we kept saying yes.
We kept saying yes. We
to don't... each other. We kept saying yes. We kept saying yes to God. We kept saying yes to each other, and we kept saying yes to ministry.
Yeah.
Even when ministry was messy.
Yeah.
Even when our marriage was messy, God was turning the mess into a message, whether it was our ministry, whether it was a marriage, whether it was our lives. I said something when I talked about Charles. One of the things I say is that I understand why God mirrors his relationship to us like marriage, we're his bride. Because I realize marriage has the same potential to carve us and cut us into his image and his likeness.
Oof, yes.
And that's what he is saying when he said, I married you. You know, and, you know, he married us.
Yeah.
And his relationship and the spirit of the Lord has, and our experiences, our trials and tribulations, our joys and our sorrows, our pain and our abundance, our prosperity and our lack, all of it has the ability to cut us and shape us into his image and his likeness.
Yeah, if you let him.
Yes, if you let him. But I'm just saying, I tell people whatever good and great thing you see in me is because of the relationship that Christ has with me first.
Yeah.
And second, the relationship that God allowed me to have with Charles.
Yeah.
Because those two relationships created the person I am.
Yep.
And I will continue to become even a new person, a different person in this next season. Because Charles and I was retiring. I have retired from day-to-day operational ministry on the effective the 28th of September of this year. Charles was actually going to do the same. We have a cleaning business that we still oversee. And yet, I just didn't see. If someone was to have asked me, did I see where I am today? I did not. God did not include me. He didn't share it. He shared it with me the day before Charles passed. And this is what I heard. I was walking while we were at hospice. I was walking outside, took a break and went out to walk. And as I was walking, I heard this small, still voice say to me, Charles is in the labor room, Lucreta. And the pain he was having was his contractions.
Hmm.
And the moaning you hear in the breathing is his dilating. He's dilating. And he is going to transition and birth a new life. And you will not be taking him home with you. I heard it like he was just, and all I could do is I continued to walk that day. And I just continued, just like, what are you saying, Lord? And he's like, I'm getting ready to come get him and take him home. I didn't know when. And I remember walking back into his room, knowing that he was not going to come home with me. As he was dilating and breathing hard and the sound of that breath and, you know, and that's dilating to, it means to be stretched. He was being stretched in that moment. He was working out his soul salvation to leave this world and enter into the next. And the Lord said he will birth a new life. He will transition. And I remember when they woke me up about, maybe it was probably 1:55, maybe 1:56. And they said to me, Miss Bowman, you want to wake up now because your husband is transitioning right now. And I remember standing by his bed and just leaning over to him and telling him I love him. And I could hear the last breath that he took. And I remember them coming in and getting the nurse to check his vitals. And she called it at 2:07. And I remember them asking me to leave the rooms while they cleaned him up and so they could present him. But all I could remember was I no longer heard the sound that I had heard for 7 days, well, 5 days consistently from the 11th day of September until the 17th day of September. All you heard when you walked in that room was the sound of his breathing. And I am telling you, in our home, my husband was the sound of our home. Every time he woke, you knew he was up. And our house is so still right now. And these last 30 days that he's been gone, this last month, this morning I felt like the Lord said, I've had him for a month now. I've had him back for a month. He's a month old with me again. And this is just my imagination for my life. And I was thinking, you know, for this last month, our house has been silent. Like, it's so quiet.
Yeah, I can't even imagine.
I just miss his sound.
You said he was a loud man.
Yeah. Everybody, my sister came and stayed with us when he got out of hospice. Before he died, and when he got out on the 29th of July. And she said, is he always this loud when he gets up? She's like, you know he's up. I'm like, yeah, he's the sound of our home. Whether he's flopping down the steps or whether he's opening a door and shutting it, you know he's up. He doesn't consider everybody else that might be asleep. It's like if he's up, then everybody needs to be up.
Oh, boy.
That was just how he was.
Yeah.
And now not to have that sound, I miss it so much.
Yeah.
I miss his sound.
Yeah.
I miss his sound. I miss his presence.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't even begin to imagine, even for you just in general, you have had so many transitional things happen in such a short amount of time. Mm-hmm. That's a lot. That's a lot for a person to process. And
because I had to transition you to another position.
Yeah.
Leaving, you know, City Gospel Mission.
Yeah.
Transitioning that. The death of my husband.
Yep.
You know, just those are major transitions.
Yep.
And all now at the same time.
And you're taking time off. And that, while that was meant to be kind of a restful.
Yeah, we were going to travel. Right. We had cruises that we had put together and some trips. We had about 3 trips. And yeah.
Now it's quiet and grieving, mm-hmm. and waiting and asking God for where you're going
next. Exactly. Yeah. What's my next assignment?
It just seems like a lot. I mean, you are, I know, one of the strongest women I've ever known, but
thank you.
That's still a lot.
Oh, it is.
Just like,
but I let myself, the Lord said, this is a season of receiving for me. And when we fasted in the beginning of the year and our word, mine was intentionally present.
Yeah.
I feel like that all of this has been about being intentionally present in the moment. And right now, I'm just in a season of receiving. I don't have to make any decisions. God has been very good to me in this season where I don't have that to worry about. Things that most people, I still got, you know, some natural paperwork to do and some other things. But other than that, God has really been a provisional God where I can just be at peace in that space.
Yeah.
And that's a blessing.
Yep.
So what do I have to complain about? Nothing. Just grateful. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. Doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. Doesn't mean I don't have my days. Like even yesterday, going into the graduation was hard. Coming into that building, to the church, because that was where I just had laid my husband to rest in that church.
Yes.
So coming into that church, knowing that the last time I was there, that was at my husband's home going, just a couple of weeks before then. So it was very difficult.
It was like, what, 13 days after? Mm-hmm,
exactly. And so that was, you know, to just see. Yeah, it was just hard walking in that door for some reason. But I got through it. Even yesterday, I had a lot of just overwhelming feeling about not wanting to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And almost called Brooklyn to tell her I wasn't coming. But I could hear the Lord say to me, it's not about how you feel. It's about what you know. And you know you need to go. And so I pushed through. I even took off my black and white that I usually wear and put on some color. I had on some blue and some beige. And so, you know, just anything to brighten me up at that moment.
Yeah.
So I was grateful I came because the tribute video, oh my God, like I said, I can't wait to really look at it in the moment. But just all of it was just what I needed, knowing that I was preparing for his crematory services today when I was going to be saying goodbye
to his
natural body, that I would not see him in that kind of in the flesh, you know what I mean, again after today.
Oh my goodness, Lakrita. Just, it's weird how this feels full circle. And we didn't realize when we started this on June 2nd, to now, which today is October 17th, that this podcast was going to go that way, or just life was going to go that way. I mean, when the podcast, sorry, but you know what I mean?
No, like, I get it. Yeah.
We started to just talk about your ministry, and then it really kind of, shifted to, yeah, it's your ministry, but it's going to be the conclusion of his.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, you're right. You're right. It's all new.
Yeah.
A new adventure.
And it will be an adventure. Yeah. If God is in it, it's God is, he's very, he's wonderful in how he tailors things and how he is weaving things together in ways we don't expect or see. And then we just get these glimpses of his work and we go, wow, that's a miracle. And it's like, yeah, but you don't realize God was working the entire time mm-hmm. doing these little things to just like provide for our good, according to Romans 8:28.
Yeah, so. Because ever since the 17th of last month, every time, even though I would say like the 18th would come of September, but I could say August the 18th, he was still alive. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like when that day came, I mean, like up until yesterday, because yesterday was the 16th, and I was said, I was saying this time last month, Charles was still living. You know what I mean? I would say that like on the 16th, on the 15th, on, you know. But today I had to say this time last month, Charles went to be with God.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep.
So now every day after this, that's what I'll have to, you know, that Charles is with the Lord.
You know, it is interesting that a friend of mine whose husband also passed, who was much younger, he was 38. When he passed, someone had said to her, actually right before he passed, he said, you know, we have to look at death a little bit differently. Like typically we as people, we tend to mark how many days someone has passed. Mm-hmm. And they told her, really, we are counting the days that they have been in the presence of God. And that's one more day closer for us to be with them mm-hmm. in the presence of God. So she started counting how many days
he'd been in the presence
of God, but how many days closer to getting to experience to be with him mm-hmm. rather than you've been gone this long. These are the days yeah. that have brought me closer. Are,
now it's like, I'm 1 month closer to being
yes.
with you.
Yes. Yeah. So she said for her, that meant a lot yeah. to think of what the true inevitability will be. And that is you will both be in the presence of God as lovers of God. And that while she no longer has him in the earthly, she will see him mm-hmm. in the afterlife forever. So yeah.
That's true.
It's
yeah. just another way to look at it.
Yeah. For her, that was comforting,
yeah.
but
yeah.
So I hope you guys have felt, even in the midst of the grief, you felt encouraged, you have felt inspired, and it helps you maybe reshape how you're looking at your life and the things that you're doing and the impact that you're having on the people around you. Because everybody has a sphere of influence, regardless of what you say or think. You as an individual do have impact on the people around you. So, and I just want to say in closing, thank you, Charles.
Thank you, babe.
All right, folks. Till our next season.
You've been listening to the Embracing Change podcast. Music production and mastering by Gone Coastal Productions. Podcast editing and production by Jennifer Osborne.
Podcast copyright 2025 by Lakrita Bowman.